Hi everybody, welcome. I'll give everyone a moment to get here. Yeah, finish your lunch. Let's get started. I am really happy and excited to be here with all of you for part two of our Creating Awareness module. Last session, we started to look at different techniques for creating awareness. We looked specifically at reflecting the truth techniques. And today we're gonna go deep into more creating awareness skills, into honoring, acknowledging, celebrating, all of which contain more than meets the eye if you're gonna do it masterfully. You know, here we look at details and layers. So even if you have looked at this material before, or even if you've, I should say, even if you've learned the skill of celebrating and honoring before, we're gonna be looking at it in some different ways today. Before we jump into all of it, just one logistics piece. Which is some of you, I was very happy to see some of you have registered for my 4-hour training next week. It's called Transform the Room. Some of you found out about it on purpose. So here's the thing. On purpose, I didn't really send too many emails about it to this group. It's 4 hours with a lot of content on leading groups and group facilitation and events and workshops. For those of you that have registered, I know that you are meant to be there. There's still opportunity to register for those of you that want to. But what I want to say about it is during those 4 hours, I'm going to spend a little bit of time sharing about a much bigger training on group leadership. And that's why I hid some of the marketing from you. I am not one of those people that wants to sell one thing after another. Like, I really want you to focus on sacred depths. There is so much here for you. We've only just begun. If you hear my invitation to the other program, some of you might be like, oh, I want to do that too. And there will be other opportunities, but really, there's more than enough to chew on here for the next many months. My invitation is to chew on all the things here, integrate them. If you ever have questions about group facilitation, you can always bring them to me or to one of our monthly Q&A calls. You will get a lot out of that 4-hour workshop for those of you who are going, but stay focused here. Okay. So, what's been moving through you around creating awareness and reflecting the truth? Have you been experimenting with it? What have you been seeing and noticing? If you are new to reflecting the truth, how has it been? With some new skills, if you are already very experienced at reflecting the truth, have you been on playing with some pieces and on your edge? What have you seen and learned there? And what celebrations do you have around it? Juliana.
I have a big celebration. I had my first client today, this morning, since working with you, and I felt so prepared and I was able to, let me think about the specific skills. I was able to ground and, you know, set the container really clearly. And I felt really prepared, you know, when she was kind of going off topic or wasn't able to kind of get into her body. I was able to use the skills from last week and just reflect. It's like, you know, oh, it looks like there's two things wanting to happen here. What if we just went in this direction, you know? And so I just felt really prepared. And I know she got a great session. And I'm, yeah, just looking forward to going deeper with her over the next few weeks.
Yay! So well done.
Thank you.
So exciting and so well done. Yay! Carmen.
Thank you. I have noticed that because I'm very led by my intuition, I pay little to no attention to a structure or to, I cannot find the right word, but a way of saying things. I just almost threw them up. And yeah. I had a very interesting experience with a new client that we had our first private session on Friday. And the things that were coming up were very confrontational for her, and I did not took that in consideration when I say it. There was something very strongly that came up about her childhood during the session, and when I mentioned it, she guarded up. And instead of spending that precious time on diving deeper into the exploration, have I thought beforehand how I expressed what I was picking up? I spend those precious minutes on reopening and resetting the container, which was a great experience to know that I have the tools to rewire and to reset the room. But there was a little bit of inner critic coming up on that, like, when you know better, you do better, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. So it was, I mean, it's a learning experience as well, and everything is fine, but I did notice that I have neglected practicing my listening skills outside of my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. So first, I hope that judge is not speaking too loudly, and that it sounds like you're taking care of the inner judge. And I'm so glad that you're bringing this forward for all of us, right? It's so important. It's first of all, it's such a really poignant example of what we were looking at last week in terms of, like, how do we share, you know, awarenesses or create awarenesses that are sometimes harder with clients. And while I certainly don't want you to be in the discomfort that you might be feeling, I am also hearing a ton of learning there for you in the awareness.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy to hear it. And I get not liking structures also. So I just really want to honor and acknowledge that too. And if this is helpful, I'll just toss it to you. It might be valuable to go to the resource sheets where I do have the structures and the things to say, and do one or two, even go back to the session with the client, and apply that situation to some of the words that I have there, but change the words to be what is authentic to you, yet still delivering it in a way that the client might be able to hear. And just work on the playing with those words without needing to adhere to the actual structure. I think that could be a really valuable next step here for you.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds brilliant. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for sharing. Okay. Lisa saying it's up to my comfort level and emboldened me. Yay! So great. So we looked last week at the harder, I'll call it like the harder or the tougher way of reflecting. And I want to just briefly share today that there's also another way when it's not a hard truth per se of reflecting that a lot of your coaching sessions, a lot of your sessions are going to call for. And it's just a simple way of reflecting or creating awareness. So I personally, and maybe all of you have even noticed this, as I respond to shares, I do a lot of reflecting, just reflecting back what I'm hearing to clients. As we looked at last week, reflecting as a way of creating awareness can be so powerful, because even when a human being says something, even when the words have come out of their mouth, they may not yet be fully taking it in or embodying it. And having it reflected back to them is an opportunity for them to take their truth in more deeply. Sometimes I'll reflect back the exact words that a client just said. I'll actually say, wait, let's hold up here for a moment. I wanna pause because you said something really important and I wanna reflect it back to you, or I want you to receive it even more deeply. And I'll just literally reflect slowly usually with intention, the words back. And sometimes I might even then ask the client, I might say, take a moment and really take that in. Take that into your body. Or I might say, why is this important? So that's one way of reflecting. Other examples of more simple reflecting when it's not necessarily a hard truth, I'll just give you a whole bunch of different examples. And I'm sure you all use this if you're coaching, in your coaching sessions, in your friendships, you know, just any conversations, but I think it is worthwhile just to pull it out. I hear that you're ready for a new way of showing up with your team, right? Just a way of reflecting, easy. I hear how deeply you care for your clients. Creating awareness there, right? Not that there isn't awareness of this person that they care for their clients, but having someone, you know, having the practitioner say it, reflect it back is an opportunity to take it deeper. Sounds like your heart isn't in it. That's a way of creating awareness. It's almost as if you sound bored. That's creating awareness, just reflecting what you're hearing. As I was listening, I got the image of a bird flying free. It's another way of creating awareness. So I happen to be a visual person, and oftentimes when clients are speaking, I'll get an image in my mind of something, and if it feels poignant for them or something that could help create awareness for them, I'll share the image that came to mind for me and ask if it resonates or what they see in it, you know. Feels like you're bringing heaviness to that conversation that you want to have with your sister. I got really excited as you were talking about that new program idea. So I will, as a practitioner, I will share when a client is sharing something and it excites me or it inspires me, or if it's appropriate, if I have like a little learning from what that client is sharing, those are all ways of supporting a client to take in more deeply what they're sharing, to feel validated, to feel seen, to feel heard, and to open up more awareness. involves saying, what do you mean if you, oh, is that, are you joking around, or is that like a legit question that might be? Sometimes I don't understand
No,
chat.
it's a legit question, because you just said, or if you have a little learning and you
Yeah,
reflect.
so sometimes sometimes I'm working with a client and we're working on a goal or a situation, and they share a piece of wisdom, and it's a piece of wisdom that is like really powerful for me personally. I won't go into my whole story and take up a lot of session time, but I might say, wow, that really, hit me deeply. Or, Inbal, thank you so much. I just learned something for myself from that. Okay. Another time or moment or place where you may want to bring in reflecting is if a client has just shared a lot of different things and threads all at once, like in a very quick way. Or if they've just shared something, again, that's just very important. In either of those cases, I'll say, okay, let's pause here for a moment. And I want to share, especially if it's a lot of threads or a lot of things they just shared, I'll say, okay, let's pause here for a moment. I want to share what I just heard to make sure that I'm getting it right. And then I'll reflect back to the client what I just heard, but I'll emphasize, through using my listening skills, I'll emphasize the parts that I sense are most important, that want emphasis. I'll a lot of time use the client's own language. Sometimes I'll insert my own language to create more awareness. But if there's a lot going on in a session and a lot of threads, it can be really helpful to pause and kind of sum up in order to support the client to find a focal point or find how the threads go together and make a choice about how they want to continue to proceed with the session. Last piece I'll just share on reflecting and sharing what we're hearing as practitioners is that we can also call this reflecting mirroring. It's just, it is so powerful for another human being to have their own words or thoughts or ideas or feelings mirrored back to them. So there's been a lot of research done on how all human beings have mirror neurons. I'm sure many of you have heard about this. And one way that babies develop healthfully is when adults mirror back their expressions on the face or the sound of the coo that the baby makes back to the baby. Because of the mirror neurons that we have inside of us, when the baby sees the expression mirrored back to them or hears the sound mirrored back to them, it creates more of a sense of autonomy and resiliency and well-being. Studies have also been done on sales conversations where, when a salesperson mirrors, if it's like a Zoom or in person, you can see the other person. When a salesperson mirrors the movements of the prospect is more likely to buy. So, for example, if a prospect kind of leans in and goes like this, and the salesperson a little bit afterwards subtly does that, and then if the prospect kind of goes back, if there's some of that mirroring going on, there's more of a connection and a relationship that's created, more of a trust that's created, and more sales happen. All right, let me pause on all of that. Anything that wants to be shared, anything that's being sparked, or any questions that you have on reflecting? What's feeling important in what I just shared? Julie.
I was almost going to rescind my unmuting, but I don't know if this question exactly relates to what you just asked, but and I was considering holding off and bringing it into our small group tomorrow, but here we are. I've been contemplating and wanting your insight around how to navigate this. Like, I feel like there's this fine line and dance in friendships. Like, I really try to be mindful, and it's been reflected back to me in times when friends or individuals let me know that they're not looking to be coached, right? And so I try to be really mindful and respectful of how I'm showing up in a dialogue. And I had an experience the other night with a new friend who is also a coach, who has the same training as I do and is currently in another really intensive training program. And she was sharing a lot of really heavy, intense stuff. And I was listening, and really just trying to honor holding space, and also simultaneously aware that I was thinking about the way in which I was listening and trying to frame it in the context of, you know, creating awareness. And I, when I said, would it be okay if I reflect back some of what I'm hearing, there was definitely some pushback. She like let it be, she was clear that like, yes, I could respond, but then when I responded, it was clear that it wasn't what she wanted or needed. And then there was just this like really awkward, uncomfortable, tense thing that we kind of had to like, workshop in our friendship. And what I was able to bring about towards the end of our call was reflecting on what we've been learning here, and just offering as a suggestion for our friendship moving forward, is let's consider how we might create a safe container for one another when we reach out and like get clear about what is it you are looking for from me. Yeah. At this time, how can I best support you? And also thinking about like, what are you taking away? So for me, my takeaway from the call was I need there to be a safe container.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so much back to agreements and containers, which, you know, agreements are part of the container, and it sounds like you went in the right direction. I know it's like, once you're a coach, you can't uncoach. It's so hard, right? It's not. And it can be of such use in so many of our other relationships. It can be, but it not always is. So absolutely to what you're saying, yeah. And I have some friends that, especially if they're a coach, right? Like, they hear the language of, can I reflect something to you? And they're like, ah, right? But so, you know, I have some friends where if they share something heavy or whatever, you know, I might sometimes say like, oh my gosh, there's so many different ways that I want to respond, but I'm wondering what you need right now, like, right? Which is essentially what you just said, but I might just ask it in the moment versus in the beginning, you know, this asking it in the beginning may make it a little more formal for a friendship, depending on the context. But yeah, nicely done. Inval.
So my question is, you kind of spoke to this a little bit, but reflecting on reflecting back to create awareness, we're not just summarizing what they said, because that can take up time and is also boring. But like, I guess like if there's any guidance around what to reflect back, because there's certain things where it's okay if you're getting it wrong. But, you know, I've noticed for me, because I sometimes really like the details, but I don't want to also overemphasize something. So I think you get my question.
Yeah, absolutely. So it goes back to everything that we learned in our listening skills. When I'm going to summarize, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to use like what that list of what are we looking for? I'm going to kind of think about those questions. So an example is, was there something that the client said more than once, right? Like that piques my listening skills. Did their tone change on a certain thing? Did they get slower? Did they get faster? What are the different what are the different threads that I heard, and what's the pattern? We haven't gotten to this yet, but in Sacred Deaf School, but just to say, like, what are the different patterns or the threads that I've heard that draw the different threads together? So I'm gonna kind of think about what are the things that I normally am listening for, but kind of in a heightened way, and then bring those to the forefront when I reflect. Yeah, good question. Bryn.
So I sometimes, and I don't do this necessarily with clients, but I find myself repeating something I've heard because it takes a while for me to process it. And I'm like, I sometimes, you know, whether I'm really tired, fatigue, or whatever, is I got a lot going on in my mind, I try to connect the dots. And I, for the most part, it's okay. But with my 22-year-old son, he flips a lid. He's like, I just said that, Mom. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, and at one point I said, you know, kind of saying, you know, sometimes I say things back, you know, I'm a coach. Well, I'm not your client. So I was just wondering, like, I just got to really, I guess, when it comes to him, kind of just, I guess, think more before I speak. I don't know if anybody else is fine into that.
I think all bets are off with children.
Thank God.
Yeah, I just, that's exactly what my teenager would do as well. I try to be conscious to not verbally process in her presence. It just ticks her off, right? All right. So, yeah, I would just treat that differently. But, you know, in general, within sessions, I will sometimes say to a client, wait, let's hold on a second. I want to make sure I'm hearing this the right way, or I'm starting to make a connection and I want to check this out with you. Is this a connection that's helpful, right? And I will slow down the processing there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Andrea.
Just one thing that I was reminded of with the reflecting examples is sometimes this works. Obviously, it's all context, but I find sometimes I can just pick one word out of, or one short phrase, and just like, huh, so bubblegum? and just like, that's it, kind of like, and so it when I can feel that, it's like, oh, I don't want to say the thing exactly back, I feel like that will be kind of squishy, and I'm just key on one phrase, and sometimes it works.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're sharing that. Yes, like just the one word or the one phrase reflected back and given space around it, it can open up so much. Yeah.
This slight question sound, and then kind of like that's it, sort of.
Yeah, either that or like, even depending on the moment, you know, sometimes it calls for like a more sacred, like, yeah. Love. Or right, so jokey, just depending on the energy that is, yes. Important with the awareness. Yeah, thank you for bringing that into the conversation.
Yeah.
Wendy. You need to take yourself off mute.
There you go. Is that better?
Yeah.
Stupid buttons. To kind of piggyback off of what Andrea just said, I have some clients that kind of laugh at me in a joking, positive way, because I do the same thing. I'll catch a word, and as I'm taking notes, I'll write it down. And if for some reason I hear that word again, I'll put a mark next to it, and I keep doing that. And then eventually I'll be like, hey, I just want to bring something to your awareness. You've said the word peace four times. Like, is there something that maybe we need to take a look at there. You know, I feel like this keeps coming up for you, and I just wanted to kind of ask, you know, I love that kind of a piece. And I guess I was just kind of wondering, have you had experiences with that as well? And maybe what do you do with that? I love digging around and stuff like that.
Absolutely. So, you know, what you're talking about, number one, you're using such great listening skills, right? Because one of the things we looked at in listening is when you hear something more than once, that's possibly something to pay attention to. And then you're creating awareness around that. So the exact words you use might be something that I would say, like, I've heard you say the word peace, right? Or sometimes, remember back to listening skills, let's say for 2 months, a client has been talking about their relationship and how they want peace. And then all of a sudden in a session, they talk about their relationship and how they want adventure. That's also, right, something. It's like, oh wait, hold on a second. We've been talking a lot about how you want peace in your relationship. Tell me if I'm getting this right. I don't think I've ever heard you share the word adventure in relation to your relationship, right?
I like that.
There's lots of different ways that you can create awareness based on what you're hearing.
I like that. So acknowledging the shift that you're saying. I love that. Okay.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Okay, Anina and then Vesica, and then we're gonna move on.
Yes, hi. I'm thinking of reflection skills, especially maybe for me it's been more in like these small pods in a retreat or a training or with friends. I don't know if this would come up with clients, but also like often I feel like, can I offer an reflection? Then it might not be clear what I mean by a reflection. And then the person might like, I offer something and then it's like, it wasn't maybe what the person wanted actually, but it's more like, what kind of reflection? Is it more like sharing your own experience? Is it more, sharing what you heard? Is it more sharing an advice? So do you think that it would be helpful to also like specify what type of reflection, or how do you kind of navigate that?
Yeah, it's such a good question. So, and I would just say experiment, you know, so you find your own way with it. I'm sure I have specified before, but I don't generally. I think for me more it's like I'm listening for what. Remember, with all creating awareness, the question that we looked at last week is, what is the thing that if I created awareness on it could create a bridge or a shortcut to learning, to forward movement, right? So I'm always kind of filtering that in a way before I reflect. And if it's something that I'm not sure if it's going to be helpful, I'll just say, I'm not sure if this is going to be helpful. Let me know. And if not, we'll just throw it out, right? So if I don't say that often, but if I'm not 100% sure and I'm going out on a limb, I might say that. And then every now and again, and I shouldn't even say every now and again, there are plenty of times where I make a reflection and it doesn't totally land. If there's a strong enough container, the client will be like, yeah, I get that, but I don't know, or whatever. And that's great, right? I don't need to be right. So then I may ask, well, what is important here? Or what did that spark for you? Or, you know, whatever question based on the context. But I wouldn't be scared to share a reflection. You can just kind of put some context around it. Is that helpful?
Yes, yes.
Good. Yeah. Great question. Thank you. Vesica.
All right. Well, I love this class today. And I wanted to just share and ask for your reflection around this. I have fail so many times. I never coach anyone unless they're my clients, because I discovered that by nature, we're coaching constantly. And so I discovered the difference. And I want to bring that into this conversation quickly around with a client. with women, for many years, I researched and trained around the differences in how women and men are and our brains and how they work. And sometimes women just need to what we call empty the basket, like just let things out. So I find that my girlfriends or friends, I just listen. And that is like so healing if we can just listen without giving any feedback, because I realize most of the time that's usually what it is. But now I realize what I, you know, discovered is that when I'm somebody's hired me or asked me to coach them, then I have received permission by the exchange to coach them. And in the coaching container, I'm wondering how often have you experienced like when somebody maybe actually just needs to be listened to versus actually reflection back? Have you discovered a distinction of that? Or
It's such a great question, and you're actually dovetailing with exactly where we're going next. So I'll answer briefly, but then wait till we get to our next section, because I think you'll get even more. But the quick answer is yes, absolutely. Like what one of our jobs as coaches and practitioners is to hold space for someone to be seen and heard. That happens a lot of the time. And sometimes it's just for them to be seen and heard and held, period, end of story. Sometimes it's for the client to be seen and heard and held, and then a few minutes later or at a later session, create deeper awarenesses or ask questions. What we're going to get to in a moment is looking at how to create awareness even without getting to reflecting hard truths or asking questions or anything like that, when what a client needs most is just to be seen and heard.
Thank you.
Adequate
for now? Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. Okay. I love that it's dovetailing. Thank you so much.
Okay, so all that being said, let's jump in to acknowledging. So we're going to spend the rest of our time today looking at acknowledging, and there's in two different kinds of ways. Acknowledging is honoring what is. That's one way of acknowledging. And then acknowledging is celebrating. So let's look first at honoring what is. When I say honoring what is, what I mean by that is part of our job as practitioners is to hold space for our clients to be seen and heard and honored in the experiences that are not so great, in the experiences that are not so savory, in the frustration, in the grief, in the anger. So when we can honor what is and hold space for that client, we support our client to feel confirmed and validated in what they are feeling or experiencing. To feel confirmed and validated in what they're feeling or experiencing. This alone is a gift to any human being, to have the space to feel validated in our experiences. Often growing up, we don't get, unless our parents or adults around us were very conscious and intentional, a lot of people did not get that experience. Such a gift for another human being. When we can honor what is with a client, we support our client to know that they have a right to feel what they're feeling. When we honor what is, we support a client in knowing that they're not abnormal or wrong for struggling or for feeling the way that they do. When we honor what is, with a client, we support them to become aware of or connect more deeply with what they're really feeling and what they're really experiencing. Honoring what is can support a client to accept more deeply their situation or themselves. And accepting a situation doesn't mean that you don't also want to change it, but acceptance is so important, even if you're moving towards change. When we can honor what is with a client, it supports them to trust themselves more and to feel nourished. So here are some of many, many different examples of what honoring what is can look and sound like after a client has shared. That must have been really frustrating. That sounds really tough. I'm so sorry that happened. I know you worked really hard on that, and it makes perfect sense that you're disappointed right now. I completely understand why you're really angry about that. I feel your sadness with you. It can be so painful when we have an employer who never acknowledges what we do. Right now, you are moving through a really busy time. It is a lot that you've got on your plate right now. You've moved beyond that relationship. It makes sense that it's bringing up so many emotions. It sounds like you really held your composure in such a tough situation. I really wanted that for you too. So those are just some examples. Another one is, as part of the honoring what is, naming maybe the thing that the client hasn't said. So one example is, a couple of weeks ago, I had a client who was sharing a really tough situation with her mother, and she was sharing about her frustration and this, that, and the other thing. And I just paused and I said, "You love your mother so much." And just that honoring what is, right? That love within all of the toughness and the complexity and all the things, it allowed that client to really be with, that was why there was so much emotion, because there was all of this toughness, and she loves her mother so much. So when we honor what is, our clients are able to feel seen and loved by us, seen and heard and loved by us. And oftentimes they end up feeling a deeper connection to the practitioner. When we honor what is, it supports a client to see their experience for what it is instead of fighting against it or being in shame about it or judging it. It can normalize a lot. When we honor what is, when we acknowledge in that ways, it supports our clients to acknowledge and honor their own experiences and feelings. Oftentimes, I've seen clients literally or metaphorically just take a deep sigh of relief when I've reflected back. That must have been so tough. You know, it's just, yes, right? Or I would have felt that way too. It's like a deep sigh of like, I can just be totally honest about this, you know, in this feeling. Honoring what is a tool that helps us as practitioners not bypass our clients or use toxic positivity. So any of the, oh, you don't need to be angry in this situation, or, oh, you know what, it's not so bad, or that person meant really well, so don't be upset. You know, there might be a time and a place for that in the session to look at, you know, the positivity or the solutions or all of that. But if we rush to that, we're bypassing our client's experience. And they're not being seen and heard. So the way I like to think about it is that when we honor what is as practitioners, one thing that we're doing is having empowered compassion. It's not just compassion, it's the kind of compassion that is empowering for a client. And it's this, like, when we can find this beautiful place of honoring what is, but honoring it in an empowering way, not like, oh, you're a victim of your circumstance, but honoring the experience, it is that, just that beautiful empowered compassion. When I first started coaching, I read, I can't remember where anymore, but I read this sentence that I just love so much. Coaching is love in action in a professional setting. Coaching is love in action in a professional setting. Anina. You there, Anina? Did you have your hand raised?
Yeah, just a, maybe a quick share about, yeah, just this, what I heard, for example, like, I see that this can be painful, your examples of like, that you shared, and I feel also that they're, for me, for example, that would not work in a way, because even though I might be emotional or sad or angry, it doesn't mean that it's painful necessarily. So I'm like, I normally use more like, okay, I hear you, or I feel you, or something. Yeah, I don't know, like, have you?
So I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. I was just using different examples, you know, just to give different examples, but always, always coach the what based on the who. So I'll use the word, any word we can use, say pain, if I've heard the client say it, or if I know enough that that will resonate for them. But if not, I won't necessarily use the word anger if it's not right. So those were examples, but yes, always coach the what based on the who. Use your listening skills, not just in that session in terms of what you just heard the client share, but remember from past sessions as well to then use the words that are going to make the most sense in that situation for that client. Absolutely, or else it can backfire and the client won't feel seen and heard and possibly even triggered, for sure. Yeah. Good. Yeah, thank you for bringing that in ball.
So particularly when I start with new clients, and I guess they're a little bit like harder. So how would you deal with a situation where, you know, you are showing that empowered compassion, and in the cases when it is empowered, But as soon as you're like, that must have been really hard, or like, that sucks, or whatever. And it's like, no, it was fine. It wasn't that big a deal. Cause it's like, you know, that's what they've gotten used to, and dismissing. So like, would you get into that? Or like, I'm just curious, like how you would handle it. Cause I think it also depends on how well you know the client.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to ask you to answer your own question cause you know the answer to this question.
Ugh. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, maybe like, oh, so like what did it feel like? Or, you know, especially with their new, you know, or even just like, okay, and move it on, because sometimes it could just be like a trigger reaction. But I think for someone that I know more, I would definitely be like, it sounds like you're dismissing, like, do you feel like you're dismissing your own experience? Or if I know them, I can even be like, I feel like you're minimizing your experience again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes to all of the above. So again, always coach the what based on the who. It's gonna, you know, it will depend person to person and in that day, but some of the language that you just used, if it's appropriate for that client, sometimes, and back to last week, this would be a way of reflecting a hard truth. You can say, you know, I hear you that it's not a big deal. And I just want to check in because I know for myself, sometimes I have the tendency of just moving on and dismissing when something hurts or is a big deal because I'm just supposed to be happy and move on. And I just want to check in, like, is that happening for you right now? Because if you were feeling this way, you would be justified or, you know, whatever it is. But so it depends on the situation. But if I sensed that someone, whether it was their first session or their 10th session, I mean, even if it was new, that it might be important for them to pause on that and acknowledge that and honor whatever the toughness is or whatever frustration is for themselves, I would spend another moment to noodle in to see if there was some leeway there. Yeah, good question. Wendy.
I'm actually really excited and wanted to celebrate for just a second. I feel like I've just had a huge kind of something just really clicked for me. The acknowledging and the validating, and I do want to preface by saying I hands down have the best husband on earth, like across the board. So I kind of want to preface by saying that. And the thing that I have begged for, that's been kind of a sticking point in our relationship since day one, I'm always like, babe, just state the obvious. Like, I need you to see me and hear me and just say it back. Like, you don't have to come up with something mind-blowing. Just say back to me, like, what I've said, what I've heard. It just makes sense that I'm a coach.
Yeah. I just got chills when you said that. What's coming up for you?
Because I so badly want to love other people the way I want to be loved. You know, on such a kind and deep level. I don't know. It just something about this. I was like, holy shit. Like, I've always felt like this was my purpose, but yeah, It's just really, it was a lovely feeling just then.
I'm so glad. So glad that came up. Thank you for sharing it with us. Julie.
Oh gosh, there's so much. Wendy, thank you for sharing that. And I love that you just had that experience. And it reminds me, it ties into what I was gonna speak about. I met yesterday, well, I already knew this woman, but she's now newly a client in a way that is kind of like this perfect ideal hybrid in that I'm making and bringing her food and really honoring who she is and where she's at and holding space for her and loving her. And so the first thing I want to share, the first thing she said when I arrived and how I responded and also how I felt when I left, which kind of speaks to what Wendy just shared. So this woman is 80 years old and 105 pounds and just wasting away and has severe osteoporosis. So I'm bringing her deeply nourishing food catered to her specifications and needs. And I arrived and she said, "I just want hospice." And she doesn't have a terminal diagnosis, so she's not eligible. And I just reflected back to her like, gosh, you know, I'm really hearing in your words how I want to really honor that I'm hearing your highest knowing. You are speaking your knowing of what is true for you. And I feel how hard it must be for you to be feeling like that's not being heard and respected and honored. And she really appreciated that. And then through progressively through our time together, she also is somebody who she relies on muscle testing to determine what she's willing or not willing to eat or comfortable eating. So she tested everything I brought her and I graciously, you know, just waited while she did that and all but one thing worked for her. And she just really appreciated that, like, I wasn't there. I wasn't impatient. I wasn't rolling my eyes because clearly that's what she's met with, a lot of diminishing and dismissing of what is true, what is her experience. And that's been my experience in life and in my family, is feeling like misunderstood. And so I'll end by saying, as I was leaving and driving away, I just was filled with like, man, I sure hope that when I'm 80 years old, there's someone around who will care for me in the way that I'm caring for this woman. And it feels so good. It's like, it's truly nourishing for me to just like meet someone where they are and shine love. I feel like she's in this little box where she's being shoulded upon by all of the people who are endeavoring to care for her.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Such a beautiful example of honoring and really supporting a client to feel seen and heard. So important. Yes. So when we are acknowledging by honoring, energetics are so important. The more comfortable that we are with holding space for another person's discomfort or disappointment or grief or anger or pain, the easier it will be for us to honor what is and to do it masterfully. A good way of practicing this as practitioners is to see if, you know, just practice holding space for ourselves in the, excuse my language, in the shitty things. So when the not so savory things happen, how do you hold space for yourself? What is the listening and attentiveness and love and space holding that you bring to you? And can you practice holding even more loving space in those moments? Okay. So that's one thing that I want to invite you all to practice this week, is honoring what is, for yourselves and with your clients as a way of acknowledging. Another way of acknowledging is celebrating. Acknowledging our clients, right? So celebrating, championing our clients, cheering our clients on. I for me, and probably for a lot of you that are seasoned, celebrating is a very big part of my coaching practice. There are so many reasons and opportunities and moments to celebrate, to acknowledge something wonderful just happened or learning just happened, right? So anytime there's a win, a client has a win. And by the way, not just a big win, small win, I'm going to acknowledge it. Inner win, I'm going to acknowledge it. Outer win, I'm going to acknowledge it. When wonderful things happen, because they made it happen or because it was lucky, it could be a moment to acknowledge and celebrate. When some forward movement is made, don't just wait till the goal is achieved, but some forward movement is made, acknowledge that, honor that, celebrate that. I regularly celebrate, acknowledge, and honor my clients' resources, my clients' different skills, their talents, their wisdom, all that they bring to the table. If a client has had a fear and then they finally decide to go for something stretchy, I'm going to acknowledge and celebrate even just that decision to go for it. Celebrating is so effective, and that's because success and successful action stem from what's working and what's going well, not from what's not working. We can have learnings from what's not working, but harping on what's not working is not what's going to create forward movement. When we can celebrate, acknowledge our clients and celebrate their wins and their skills and their talents and the lucky things that happen and all of that, it fosters confidence. It fosters self-love. It fosters self-compassion. It fosters hope. It fosters satisfaction. It's another way of a client feeling seen and heard and loved and respected. My clients know, it's not just that I celebrate with them, but they know that I respect them, I admire them. I think the things that they do are so cool. I let them know all the time about their wisdom, etc. They know that I respect them. And then all of this leads to motivation and to more positive energy. I'm a Virgo, and so I see problems in everything and deficiencies, and maybe you do too. And there absolutely is a time and a place for seeing problems and seeing deficiencies and working on them. But I promise you, leveraging assets are way more important, way, way more important to reaching goals than fixing deficiencies. And I have really come to see and believe that part of my job as a practitioner is about, it's not just about celebrating, you know, what's happening in the moment, that it is about that, but part of this is about supporting clients how to learn to internalize this skill of celebration for themselves. Just, and same with honoring what is, by the way, right? So I always feel like there's two threads going on in a session. It's like the thing that we're actually working on and the goal that we're working towards and the intention of the call. And then everything that happens in the container also contributes to a deeper thread, which is supporting a client to internalize a skill like celebrating, like honoring what is, like holding hard truths, etc. Does that make sense? Okay, now. This all sounds fine and good and yay and celebrating, but here's the thing, and this is a very important thing. Human beings have a lot of trouble celebrating. In fact, some are repelled by celebrating themselves. This is one of the reasons why this is such an important coaching skill, because it is hard for our clients to do it on their own. But the reason why I'm pointing this out is because it's also what can sometimes make it challenging. You want to be masterful in the ways that you deliver celebrations, because if a client is resistant to it, the celebration may end up shutting the client down or pissing them off or having them lose trust in you or having them like silently agree but not really taking it in. You might be wondering, what is Joanna talking about? Why do people have trouble celebrating? Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons. Number one, because just in general, human beings and society tend to focus on the negative and what isn't working. It can be like a survival skill to focus on what's not working than what is. For some people, they get an icky feeling when they're being acknowledged. It's almost like, oh my God, you're seeing me too much, right? I'm like too vulnerable in this moment. Some people have trouble celebrating because they don't want to set themselves up to be hopeful and then fail. Some people have trouble celebrating because we're taught, and especially I think women are taught, that it's obnoxious to really think highly of yourself and your accomplishments. Some people have trouble celebrating because of cultural beliefs around the evil eye. Like in my Jewish heritage, it's a thing. You say something good and then you spit poo 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 like you never said it, you know? Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because they don't think it's actually that good. Like sometimes I'll have a client and they'll do something amazing and at first they don't see that that was such an amazing thing that they just did, or such a big stretch, or you know, just they just don't think it's that good. Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because they don't really know how to receive. We have trouble receiving from others. We're gonna look at receiving in detail later on in the program. Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because in culture and society, we're kind of given the message that there's not enough time to celebrate. We just need to be on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. All right, let me pause there. Yeah, and Veska's saying because of childhood trauma, for sure, 100%. Natalie.
Okay, Joanna, this is like my space right here. Everything you said, one, I struggle with those things, but two, I tend to attract high achieving clients, high achievers professionally. And I realize very quickly that this is a thing, the difficulty receiving. So I had one of my clients, so one of my challenges with the celebration, so I'm big on celebrations. I'm big on like, oh my God, whatever. And my personality, I get excited. I get naturally excited and I can't tone it down. So I was doing this with one of my clients. I don't even know when I'm doing it, but she said to me after the fact that when she was writing my testimonial, that she said, like, you know, her excitability might throw you off, but then you realize she really is excited for you. And I was like, what is she talking about? But I think it's because, you know, so it's like what you're saying, like, some people have such a hard time receiving that it could be like, what's going on? What's happening? And literally I didn't notice it as it was happening in real time. I'm more aware of it because she and I are now friends, and I'm more aware of it now. And we've talked about it with other people, but that whole thing of women not being able to internalize successes is huge. And it is a lot of times the reason for the not doing the things they really want to do. And so I feel like this, what you just said, is such a minefield of, it's a whole book, right? Like,
right. No, it's, and that's why I'm bringing it forward, because there's not just one way of celebrating. Like traditionally in coaching programs, it's just like acknowledge the great thing or whatever it is. And that's wonderful for a lot of the time, but again, always coach the what based on the who. And we want to be masterful and really thoughtful in how we celebrate. So for example, if I know that a client has trouble taking in a celebration, I might acknowledge something that's really awesome, and then I might say, are you able to take that in, right? That's one thing I might do. Or another thing I might do, if I know it's like pretty persnickety with that client, I might say, now I know you have trouble honoring yourself and celebrating yourself, so I want to share this with you and let me know how it lands, right? And then I'll acknowledge and share the celebration. With another client, I might say, you know, what I'm seeing here is blah, and I'll say, you know, I'll share the celebration, and I'll say, can you put a hand on your heart and feel that somewhere inside, right? So, and those are just some examples. We want to use all of our listening skills, all of our creating awareness skills, in order to set up the celebration and the acknowledgement in a way that the client can really receive it and take it in and have that be a beautiful piece of awareness that's created. Thanks, Natalie. Annemiek.
Hey, Joanna. I was just wondering, and I would like to hear your thoughts on that. So if you're acknowledging, whether it's a low or a high, how do you steer the conversation back into where you want to go? So say you come in with the client and they say, what do you want to work on today? I want to work on XYZ. Then comes a long story and they like disappear into either a low or a high. How do you bring them back apart from acknowledging?
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes it's going to just, you know, a lot of the time it will just be part of the flow. But if you feel like you've lost the thread, you can just ask a question like, so taking that in, what feels most important now? Or taking that in, what are you seeing about X being whatever they wanted to receive from the session, or, you know, like whatever the situation that you're working on. So you just ask a question to bring them to their inner wisdom around how, what they're seeing, how they want to move forward.
Mm. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Practice and play with that and see how that works. And
I will. Yeah.
Other pieces come through. But yeah, that's really the simplest way, which you can do, whether it's honoring what is or celebrating, or even if sometimes we just feel like we lost the thread for a moment. It can happen. Then we can just say, okay, this is where we're at, right? And I know you wanted to receive X in this session. Where would you like to go next here? Or I might have an idea, you know, what I think would be really great for us to look at next is blah. How does that sound for you? Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Joanna.
Andrea.
This is a very interesting moment because you know how you always say, Joanna, like, you know, you're going to get stuff for yourself through each of these skills, and then you're going to be able to use it with your clients. Well, what you said about celebrating, I realized that early on, probably more than 15 years ago now, I had a coach for one session. And what happened was I started to do something. It was a call that I had to lead. And on the day of the call, the coach called my voicemail and left a celebratory voicemail. And it was very, I'll just say how my experience was. It was very obnoxious. Like it was like there was a noisemaker that he used, like boo, and like woohoo, and all this. And I was very put off by it. And so I mentioned it to him. I said, you know, I appreciate that you were celebrating, but I found that very off-putting because it was extremely, like, it just you know, could you not do that? And I remember being extremely nervous to say that to my coach at the time. And the way that they handled it actually broke my trust further. So I ended up canceling the engagement. But the reason I share it with you now is, you know, you're calling me out to recognize my own natural sort of, well, the opportunity to embrace and open up more to celebration, so that I can learn to receive, you know, different flavors of it maybe, and also recognize that I do some celebrating with clients. I usually ask, I get teased, you're always asking permission. It's like, yeah, well, I'm not assuming, you know, well, how would it feel if we were to pause and celebrate, you know? But I realize I think probably I would like to be more expressive and celebratory. And so it starts, of course, with me being willing to be more celebratory myself. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many things in what you just shared that I want to pull. So first, I'm glad these awarenesses are coming through, and it feels like, and there's also, we won't do it in class today, but I've got a lot of journaling questions to go deeper personally with all of this. So I think you'll get a lot out of that. I'm so glad all of that is coming through. And then from a practitioner point of view, there's some other things that you're sharing here that are so important. So, and it goes back to coaching the what based on the who. Over the top celebration, like, there are moments for it, and then there are moments where that is not okay. And as you know, like, it's just energy follows energy, and we want to lead with our energy, but we also want to match our clients' energy, you know, to the appropriate amount. There are moments where a client is celebrating something themselves, and it's like virtual high fives, and we're both jumping and screaming, and it's great. And then there are other moments where a client is sharing something shitty that happened, but they happen to notice that there was a learning in it, and I'm going to celebrate that learning, but in such a different kind of energy, right? So it's so, all of that is so important.
Yeah. It just had the sensation of kind of not being about me, actually, you know?
Some of the questions that we'll look at, we're going to get at that, because as practitioners, that's really important too. Yeah. Good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Natalie, I'm going to hold off on your share for a moment because there are a couple of other pieces I just want to make sure we get to, and then I'll open up for more shares and questions. So as Andrea just said, in order to truly celebrate someone else and have it be effective, we also have to get more comfortable celebrating ourselves and also celebrating others. You know, sometimes because of our histories and our backgrounds, we may have some, as practitioners, trouble celebrating others as well. So in one of your worksheets, there'll be a whole slew of journaling questions. So for you to be able to take a look at, you know, how and how often were you honored and celebrated by your family of origin? As Andrea kind of mentioned, you know, you'll look at the question, when you were celebrated, what was the motivation? Because we can feel it when the motivation is off. You know, what were some of the spoken and unspoken messages behind the ways that you were celebrated or not celebrated? How did parents and other role models model being celebrated and honoring themselves, right? So you'll be able to kind of look at all of that. And I really highly recommend that you take some time, even if you've looked at all of this before, you'll have an opportunity to look at how you receive compliments, because that can be a thing, right? But the more that we can be aware of all of this as practitioners, the more it's going to support us when we go to acknowledge and celebrate our clients. I like to bake celebrating in lots of different ways. So Clients always fill out a prep form. I shouldn't say they always, because sometimes they don't fill it out. But I always invite clients to fill out a prep form before sessions. And it's got lots of different questions on it. But one of the questions is always, what would you like to celebrate since we last spoke, inner or outer? Again, because I also am, through the work, it's like celebrating the thing in the moment, but building this skill of internalized celebrating oneself and acknowledging oneself. So I want to give my clients this practice. So they'll fill it out so that they're thinking about it before a session. I always read those prep forms before sessions. If there's something really noteworthy before we even get to intentions, I may first just celebrate it, if it's something that I know will be meaningful for the client. Of course, in the moment as it comes up in sessions, sometimes when I'm beginning to strategize with a client on whatever project they're working on, a new thing, we might sometimes start out by listing their assets and their resources and like all the things that they've already got going on, like celebrate all the things they've got going on that they can use for this project. So I might do some celebrating at the beginning of a project. And as I said before, I'm always mindful to let my clients know in lots of different ways. How much I respect them, how much I honor them, how much I admire them, celebrate them, and that I think of them as a person of incredible value. Be mindful, and I think Andrea was speaking a little bit to this as well, to always be honest. When you're celebrating, don't exaggerate. People know when you're blowing sunshine up their ass and then it doesn't feel trustworthy. So like over the top, not gonna land in the ways that you want, right? Always be authentic if it's truly something that you feel is a celebration. Sometimes with coaching, like also it's okay to get, I don't do this a lot just because it's not my style, but like sometimes it's okay to get coachy, right? You've got this. I know that you can do this. Those are ways of acknowledging and celebrating as well. Sometimes a simple congratulations, right? That's a way of celebrating. All right. I'm going to pause there. I'd love to hear questions and shares, what you're seeing, what's feeling important in all of this. Natalie.
I'm having so many thoughts, Johanna, but one of the things that actually came to my awareness from us talking about this for myself as a coach is I just realized that as good as I am about celebrating, because I learned for myself that I need to do that and for my clients, I just realized that at the end of the engagement, because I'm a card sender, that kind of person. And I was like, I didn't even send anybody any like celebration cards for the end of the engagement because I was so concerned about resigning them that I forgot to, you know, what I started doing because of the whole seasonal thing that I learned about harvesting, Johanna, is that now the last session with the client is part of it is celebration. Like, look at where you've come. Look at the JIT, right? So that is now ingrained into my process. But then I would just had this aha about, because I've sent cards like when something big has happened for a client and like to congratulate them, that kind of thing. But like, I think I want to send a card at the end, whether they resign or not, just to be like, oh, you know, you did this, whatever, right? I wanted to say one short, very short story about one of my clients. I mean, we literally worked on this with her. Like, she just had a hard time receiving, felt it was arrogant to celebrate her own wins and the whole thing. And like, it's still hard for her. Like, so this is such a thing that we actually have talked in sessions about celebrating her wins. And she's had many, many wins, but again, can't see them objectively or can't receive the celebration, but she's getting better. But I'm just to kind of like, echo and reinforce what you were saying earlier about that this can be a really, really hard thing for some women.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are, you know, and sometimes we want to go deeper with it and look at the fears and look at the patterns. And sometimes, you know, if we have, right, it's like we're still working on it. You know, there are a lot of the different ways we already looked at. And I just want to throw out another way that I sometimes do, like, also lightheartedly. Like, sometimes I'll say to a client, like, I know you don't like celebrating, but I just got to stick this one in. I'm so excited that blah, 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 right? I was like, take it or leave it. I don't care. I'm celebrating it for you, right? Like, in some contexts, that is, it, you know, can really help a client at least take it in a little bit too. So there's different ways that we consistently, you know, work on it as well. Thanks, Natalie. Gaia.
Actually, you just answered. I was about to put my hands down because you basically just answered it. But I find it so challenging when somebody has done something to be celebrated, like seriously, like closing on your house. And you know, in a very monotone sort of, yeah, the deal went through. Thank God. It's like, thank God it all went through. And I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? And you're, yeah, it's a big thing, everything you went through. And yet they just, even a spark of joy is not there. And like part of me wants to like, so sometimes I'll celebrate for you. And but it's a fine line of how to have, maybe that's their way, you know what I mean? You know, I was thinking there's a saying I heard, you've probably heard it, where it says, you are your ancestors' wildest dream, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that I've been going through is when I had my accident is resting and being quiet. And I know that's really hard in the world. And to celebrate that. And then I realized that it was more than just the resting and what my brain was doing, but part of my whole body, my whole lineage wanted to rest from all the things that have ever happened. And back in their time, rest was not even a word, wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, to celebrate resting and to be joyful of just being quiet and taking care of my brain and just doing things. And so it made me think that maybe sometimes we're not connected to celebration in a very sort of vibrant way. Maybe it could be in a very quiet, still way, but sometimes I find that with clients, it's very, very difficult to show joy when they're eating something that they love. You know they love it. And when you say, how do you like that? They go, it's
so
good.
Absolutely. And so there also, as we continue in the program, you know, if it's persistent, we'll look at ways, you know, because there might be a fear that's wrapped around it. There might be an unhelpful thought pattern that's wrapped around it. So we'll also look at ways to go deeper with it for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
Kim.
I was recently a client, so I was being coached by high performance coaching program of Brendan Burchard's. And we always started with celebrations. And it was probably the most powerful part of the whole coaching process. As a Virgo, I like do things and don't like give myself credit and, you know, I think I'm never doing anything. And it was such a powerful thing for me to do those celebrations and have the authentic reflection back for me.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you're bringing that forward, because that is something that you can incorporate into the beginning of every session. And then that does, again, back to supporting clients also to internalize the skill, then it can become a regular thing that they take into their everyday lives and can see more of the what there is to celebrate and what's going well and the movement that is being made.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we've got 2 minutes left. I'd love to hear what you're taking from our time together today. Oh, and you know, I don't always catch everything in the chat, but I did, I love what Lisa said, that it's important to enrich our celebration vocabulary. I've had a coach who's very effusive and you're amazing is her default. It's nice to hear, but it's also kind of lazy and generic. Yeah, it's such a good point. I'm glad you're bringing that forward. So what are you taking? Lauren's saying, I feel like the energy of celebration is so important. Our authenticity and embodiment during the celebration feels really important. I love that you're bringing that forward too, Lauren. It's not just the words that we say as practitioners. As with everything, it's how we're embodying what we're saying, the energy that we're seeing it with, and being present to the thing. A client will smell it from miles away if we're celebrating them, but we don't mean it or we're not embodied in it. Any other takeaways before we wrap? Empowered compassion, Andrea's saying, yeah. Good. Well, everyone, sending you lots of love. Have fun playing with all of this for yourself this week, honoring what is and celebrating. Have fun playing with it in your sessions. Be on your edge, whatever your edge is, with your skills. And I'll see y'all next week. Have a good rest of your day.